Yeah. Welcome, and okay. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you and good morning. I'm CEO of Soltech. Name is Repe Harmanen, and I'm happy to be and present and tell about our company to you here today. Feel free to ask any questions all the time, so that's the best way to do it. I try to give you a brief what we do, where we come from, what are our aims, and where are we heading. So there is a reason for me why I'm interested in telling this to you and telling about us to you as today, because of some of our international targets and businesses we've done during the last couple of years. First of all, the company. We've been founded in 1982. We are pretty traditional, kind of long-term business where we have been doing pretty much the same business since 1982. The company was founded by three gentlemen just because they decided that they want to work together. Extremely good business reason to found a company in 1982. We've been on the same track, doing the same business pretty much since that time, following the same guidelines and same principles in the areas of commerce, wholesale, and logistics. That's where it all started from in 1982. Today, it's very hard. We're based in Finland, Sweden, and Poland currently. And it's really hard in Finland not to come across to us on a weekly basis due to the fact that we have a lot lot services and solutions around in commerce, whether it's business to consumer area, whether it's business to business area. So in most cases on weekly basis you somehow have a touchpoint to our business. I think this slide actually explains extremely well what we do and what is our business. So we work with retailers, we work with wholesalers, we work with manufacturing clients, we work in the specialty goods stores, we work with restaurant chains. So we work all over the place. We have in their systems and in their businesses, we have solutions and services for anything from supply chain, managing their supply chain, managing their products, managing their product assortment, what they're trying to sell to their clients, the logistics. We have in-store operations, meaning the point of sale systems, the in-store operations. We have web commerce, the digital web shops. We have plenty of those. We have a digital marketing side and everything around this. So the focus is really today, it's to follow and to offer services for the digitalized commerce as all the consumer businesses and business to business businesses are facing. So really from our services, you are able to find the ease for the mess in the background that you have in your and the clients have in their systems, up to the front end of having the mobile interface to your shop. So this is to put it in the big picture. Terms of figures and size, we are a bit over 60 million euros revenue this year. Where about 15 to 20% we estimate is coming from abroad, so coming from Nordics or a few global clients operating globally. We have 500 employees, where majority is currently in Finland in three different places. We have an office in Stockholm, plus we have our own office in Poland, Wrocław, and that's where the 500 people gathers together. Our ownership structure today is like in any publicly listed company. There is a lot of variance. We have about 2,000 shareholders, where there are in the top 10 shareholders. We have pension insurance funds, plus we have a private equity fund. As a biggest shareholder with roughly 27% ownership. So we are kind of our ownership structure having families and funds and institutions is supporting our aims and our goals to grow. Why we are unique? Why we think that there is in this area there isn't really alike? The fact is that we seem to be in this area. Talking about the Nordics, we seem to be the only one having really the end-to-end coverage for our clients when it comes to the e-commerce and the multi-channel or the omni-commerce sales. So there are companies who provide like the web commerce only, or the point of sale systems, or huge logistics systems, or warehouse operations. But only we've been able to find us who actually provides the end-to-end services from one client. So it's very important for us then that basically our growth follows the digitalization and kind of the turbulence in the commerce, what is happening, and as we see it as consumers, the same turbulence and the same changes are and will be implemented in the business-to-business world as we are already experiencing those as consumers. So that's really the key. That's how we've been building the last 34 years our portfolio. And we're following that path and that road again. The second really important thing for us in terms of growth and business plans and way forward is the internationalization. There are a couple of reasons really for that. Between Nordics, there is a huge traffic between the countries. So a company in especially when in consumer sector. If company operates and sells goods in Finland, they sell it also in Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. If it operates in Sweden, most probably it also sells goods in Norway and Finland and Denmark. So kind of the pan-Nordic business is a must these days. Also from Nordics, especially from Sweden, there are great examples of businesses who have been able to take over markets globally, whether it's clothing or whether it's specialty goods. So that's another one. So there are great companies from Nordics going global. The second perspective, what we see is having, especially in the manufacturing clients, there are many manufacturers in Nordics who operate already today globally. And they have changed their working models, their processes, their approach to their clients, extremely similar as it is today with the consumer sector. So, assuming a person driving a truck or a crane somewhere in Asia, they have a problem. They have a hydraulic vent which is broken. They actually Google to find a new one. They actually want to buy it from the web shop. They behave just like my kids wanted to have new music. So there is no difference between my kids and a crane driver in Asia when it comes to how to purchase spare parts, how to purchase anything to your business. You actually Google, you go to a web shop and you wonder why can't you order this part through App Store. And that has changed a lot, and that will be a big influencer in everything going forward in business-to-business and manufacturing. All this, I mean, it would be far too slow to do it purely organic way. So organically, we are able to grow our existing businesses to work more with our existing clients. That's what we can do. Really expanding the portfolio and the development of technologies used globally, it's so rapid that actually that's the I see that the M&A, active M&A is really the only alternative there to go forward and to follow the market. The second one is that serving global clients requires still today global presence and that's the second one that we're aiming. We have currently serving a couple of clients operating in all all continents, so it puts pressure on us, of course, how to serve from Nordics to the US and to Asia. And last but not least, we are like the value we create to our clients. It's not really volume based. So our aim is not that we try to be that our people are the quickest, they have the quickest finger in coding, or they have the quickest problem solving skills. Actually, we want them to be the best in the commerce area, in this omni-commerce area. And that's why we heavily invest in our people, in their competencies, so that they keep up to the pace where our clients are going. As I mentioned, about 15-20% is international revenue today. Looking 5 years, five to 10 years backwards, our international revenue was really close to 0%. And we have going forward and going international, we have kind of two avenues we are taking. The first one is that the Finnish focus will be extremely wide due to the historical reasons, of course, and due to the fact that our portfolio there is wide and the client base is extremely good in Finland. So in Finland, we try to build as a laboratory to do the end-to-end offering and to build the offering and to see what is working, to see where it's going, and to develop it further for the good, of course, for the Nordic and the international clients. When going outside Finland, we have two major goals. One goal being establishing and having more of the Nordic presence. We have already client and we have ongoing projects in pan-Nordic level. One being in Finland, Sweden, and Norway. So one client we're currently working heavily in that. So we want to establish, and of course we need to establish more in the Nordic space, especially Sweden, Norway. Looking at today, and then the second one is really to find more European clients that operate globally. So the similar clients that we already work with in the digital commerce and the digital space, to have more of those clients to expand globally. It's very interesting today. If looking at the kind of the old-fashioned traditional way of doing the internationalization, it used to be so that that we agree that you know one of our guys packs his backpack and goes to China or UK and establishes an office. But today, in digital commerce, it's extremely easier. Basically, from where you deliver, from where you actually create the solution, or from where you program, or from where you support it, does have nothing to do with the fact where actually your service is consumed. So in the digital space that we work, our services can be created and are today for our global clients are created in Finland, Sweden and Poland, and they're consumed in 40 different countries. And there is no need, the only need is to have the first training session, like we had one some months ago, like a guy flew to Bangkok to give the basic training. But that's the only physical interaction actually you need, and you can still operate globally. And that's really a change. When there is a discussion about the digitalization of the world and digitalization of the business, there's always a question, okay, but what it actually means in practice. For us, it means in practice that we can really operate globally, still being a smallish player from Finland or for Sweden or for Norway or wherever. Earlier, the only one being able to do global breakthroughs were the US companies, really, to put it a bit black and white, and you needed heavy marketing. Now today, in the digital business, you know globally who are the ones who are doing it. You don't know where they are from. You don't know actually where their offices are. You just know that they work. Our strategic targets set by our dear board, every CEO who values himself always says that we have a great and professional board setting exactly right targets for us. And our target is about 20% annual growth in turnover. Obvious is that not all of that can be done organically. The fact is that some parts of the older business are declining in the rate of 5 to 10%, whereas the digital side of the business is growing about 25 to 30% per annum. So we are balancing that inside the business. We see that there needs to be we need to be profitable as every company. We pretty much have been in the range of 5 to 8%. We see that we want to increase and we have programs to increase the profitability. However, having said that, we are happy and we are accepting about 8% profitability in the EBIT due to the fact that we see that the growth is important, and you know, we can't do it, and we invest some of the profits back to the growth all the time, as we've done so far. For investor and investor perspective, we have outlined that the net debt compared against to EBITDA shouldn't exceed 3.5, which is again a message that we are happy to use debt and happy to use loans in our expansion. However, we don't want to make it too risky, so it's kind of a balanced. And after all these goodies, we still have the dividend policy, which has outlined and said, and pretty much we've been following this path, that about 30% of the net profit will be paid in dividends. Of course, there is the question every year annually how it goes and how we want to balance the growth against the dividend. You have this material in the just there in the cafeteria area, so you can have it there if you didn't pick it. By the way, there is also some great chocolate with, I think it's Eurocoin chocolate, so I've never tasted it, but it must be good because it's our logo in it. So I will not bore you with these figures, but it just to go quickly through that we follow the strategic aims and strategic goals, our figures. So you can see here the growth from 2011. There are some acquisitions, there are some divestments, there are some organic growth, so that really should be broken down by the years to go more deeply in that. The same goes that we've been quite steady with our EBIT levels, having some growths there. We try to grow it as every company who is respecting themselves and others investing in that. And basically here you will see the EBITDA and the EBITDA against the net debt. There is a question, if you see the lower right corner, there is the net debt EBITDA jump in 2015, so we actually issued a bond 2015 to finance one of the key acquisitions on the digital and international space we did about a bit over a year ago. And that again is now back as you can see on year-to-date figure. This year is again much lower, so that was we still have the bond, of course, but the rate is better. And here you can see the history on the dividends. To summarize, we have anything to help our clients to succeed in their digital business, to succeed in their commerce. We are happy to work with manufacturing, with retailers, with fashion, with cars, with food, with groceries, with everything. So we're really key in helping them to succeed in their digital commerce. We have traditional warehouse operations, logistics support, as well as we have in the high end, we have the digital marketing. So we are able to help our clients to understand how their clients, how we actually as consumers, how we behave in their stores, in their web shops, what we consume, when we buy, what we buy. And our digital marketing people are able then to, sorry to say for us, but target all the marketing activities to us so that there is nothing else for us to do than buy, because they're just on right time. So it's really a comprehensive portfolio of services we are doing. I think that the digitalization, especially when it comes to the commerce and digital businesses, is something that really drives growth. Looking at our own behavior in the evenings, even during the days, we book everything through our phones, websites. You know, we buy. The best way to understand where things are going is for me, is I always follow my and look how my kids are doing. I have two teenagers, future consumers. I'm consuming a lot today, money and other my resources, but they're great. But following them, I actually get a picture where it's going, how they behave, what they do. My son doesn't know how to buy a TV from a store, which is a great example. He doesn't understand if I tell him why we, with my father, 1979, went to buy a color TV in a shop. My son doesn't understand it. He doesn't get the logic. He knows exactly how to do it via phone. And my mother doesn't know how to do it over the phone. So that's the great change. So it is a revolution that's ongoing. The second one is that actually our portfolio is very good. It's extremely well equipped and positioned for this. And of course, the third one is that we are a growth company. So if digitalization, commerce, retailing, Nordics, internationalization, and growth is in your agenda, you know, join the board. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very interesting presentation. Albeit it is a little bit abstract, though. Can you tell us something, maybe with a specific client, not mentioning any names, of course, what's really happening? Do you go in and look over the systems and provide consultancy services and the software needed, or you know, what's the process like?
Yeah, it's like it's difficult always to talk with these things because it's not tangible. It would be so much easier to say that we sell cars.
Yeah.
I would say there is no typical thing. There might be a project which is based on a software package that we implement to our client for 2 years, which then solves a problem to the client that, you know, what are the products and the product information they use in their shops or in their websites, how they manage those. Or it might be that we renew the whole retail system of a client, meaning really from finances to distribution to even the point of sales hardware in store, right. and you know, program their website, do the layout. So it's anything there, or it's consulting and supporting them with how they should do their IT architecture in order to support that you can sell through mobile or web. So it's really everything that, and to give it, and, right. and to deliver that, like
would
a turnkey
solution. Would you say
that
you work with customized projects for each client, or do you have some sort of off-the-shelf software and solutions that you can sort of use and reuse?
I would say actually that the majority is combination, because the we don't have own product IPRs. We have, but it's really small,
right.
Small amount, which is usually then coupled into something industry standard. Today, almost all clients, they require that it's industry standard from 2-3 different global vendors. One could be like Microsoft or Informatica,
right.
or such. And it's always building on the platform as such.
Okay. And you can work with all these major platforms.
Yes, yeah, that's our key.
Right. Yeah. You were talking about geographical expansion as one of the key growth drivers going forward. Where do you have your sights set? You have the Nordics and Poland right now. Would you concentrate in Europe, or do you look towards Americas or Asia?
Yeah, I think if I got, you know, what I've tried also, that, you know, writing to Santa Claus and, you know, getting what to hope. Definitely we want to, we have about 10-15 people in Stockholm, which is more like a sales and services and customer facing architect's office, expand here. Norway is interesting because our clients are taking us there,
okay.
which is outside EU, so it's
yeah.
more international. The second one is that I don't see that in Europe that it's not that necessary because we can work around from Finland and Sweden so easily, plus okay. Poland. US is very interesting because in the US the digital market is so huge and not only to conquer the market part of the US in the digital space is that our clients operate there. So it comes to trivial things like how are we able to do the support, for example, our clients in the US or to
right.
follow different time zones. So it comes from that perspective. But really, I would say that the coming years, the geek growth is in Nordics and Europe and clients based here.
Would you say that the Nordic countries are a good base? I mean, in several areas, like, for instance, payments,
yeah.
the Nordic countries are really at the cutting edge. We use credit cards for everything, whereas in London, it could be hard even to pay with a card in a cab, for instance, which
yeah.
feels quite backwards for us.
Yeah.
Do you think you have an advantage there that telecom and IT services is really sort of well developed in the Nordic countries, so it provides you a platform for servicing other countries as
yes.
well.
Yes, yeah. I mean, everything in Nordics, as we know, there was a mention about the Ericsson's history and Nokia in Finland.
Yeah.
I think we are extremely well equipped when it comes to technology and using technology. So Nordics really is a great laboratory. We are free willing to use. On the other hand, I don't in my head I don't try to take it for granted. Because, like in US, even it's some areas are lacking behind. They are so far ahead in some areas.
Right.
So I try to be realistic and not thinking that I'm coming from a Nordics, we know it all
okay.
approach. But Nordic is a great laboratory, and we have an open culture to try and you know to do so.
Yeah.
I think especially Sweden, I think is you know, is it it's
What's,
I think it's top. Top number yeah. one out of the Nordic countries today.
What's the competitive landscape? Is the major sort of software corporations your main rivals on the market, or are there other companies more similar to you that you face in when you pitch for clients and so forth?
We actually see two. We see there are two, three global big players which are truly global, you know, 100,000 employees. Where we are like, you know, the guy next door, little brother, if even yeah. even that. And they are, of course, the ones that are challenging us with the global clients. The good part there is that actually for us, what clients choose, they want to have someone that, you know, serves their purpose and that client has a meaning to supply. Yeah.
Right.
And that's where we are extremely good at. The second one is that for the globals, we do such a narrow and focused area that generally we are so good in that compared to the global players. So global players usually come with the volume, we come with the value.
Right.
Then the other parts of competition, we see extremely narrow, small, 15, 20 people operating in you know, middle of Finland or Sweden, only with one area.
So
kind
it's
of a specialist.
What's the former presentation, Better IT, who told us
yeah.
that the IT landscape is very fragmented
yeah,
in,
extremely that.
In Sweden. Do you cooperate with other firms, or do you prefer to go alone to your clients? I mean, could you, for instance, participate in a major deal together with some large IT firms?
Many times the big deals are working together with partners.
Right.
It's many times it's that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we have time for a question from the audience, if there are any. Well, in that case, I recommend that you read more about Soltech and the material that's provided in the cafeteria. We will have a break in about an hour. And thank you very much for your presentation.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Thank you.